certainly appreciate being here and hearing you sing and hearing this wonderful prayer. So we feel like that you have blessed us all in that respect. I've enjoyed the entire of this trip thus far, and we like the Lord to reverse it. It's gratitude of His wonderful grace, love, and mercy. But you know, this is another time, another occasion, like you said, for us to pray after this manner. Give us this day our daily bread. And this every service is another day. This is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Tonight I'm going to speak to you, God willing. Only I can, if you will. Without nothing but that. But I read to you from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. Primarily the 16th verse. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now this is the chapter of the vine and the branches. It is the great truth taught by Christ Himself in rather parabolic language, using comparison, particularly the vine, and then the branches come out from the vine, and then the fruit is mentioned. In the beginning of this mentioned chapter, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. I like this thought. I could spend the rest of the night on that expression, I am the true vine. Because when he said he was the true vine, he indicated there's other vines. There's other vines. There's other vineyards. There's other places. There's other types of service. There's other Christ. He said they should cry, lo, here is Christ. Lo, there is Christ. And go not after them. Because that shows us there's more. There's others. But he says, I am. This is Christ speaking. His own word. I am the true vine. I believe he is the vine in the sense of giving more life to all who have spiritual life. Because the branches must come out of the vine. The sustenance of those branches is from the substance of that vine. The branches and the fruit that are in the vine, in its seed form, in the root stage. And of course, it is good to recognize from a doctrinal standpoint that Jesus Christ is the true vine. And that all of us that are His children were chosen in Him. He said, ye have not chosen, primarily to His apostles at that time. But then fundamentally speaking, as Paul says, writing to Timothy, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace,
given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Paul writes in Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Peter says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Every text and all of the Bible, particularly the New Testament, must have foundation in Jesus Christ, and all of this must go back to an everlasting covenant that was ordered in all things and sure, though he maketh it not to work. So I am the true vine. But brethren, if we took only the doctrinal aspects of this text and talk only in the line of how that we became branches in the sense of our relationship with them, first in covenant, and then by redemption, and then by regeneration, and then finally by resurrection and glorification. If we took only that position, we would not get the message of this 15th chapter of the Gospel according to John. I was in the state of Florida one time, and there was at that time, thank God it's gone. Thank God. I'm so glad when brethren change if they're headed in the wrong direction and they change from that. I'm not one to keep holding that, brother. I wanted to say, brother, bless you. I never did hate you, none of the time. I just hated that doctrine you were trying to get over. I just despised what you were trying to talk about because I knew it wouldn't work. But anyway, the idea was being advocated by some, not all, that God is going to make us do everything that we can, in other words, that we didn't have anything to do with getting in the vine, and that's true, doctrinally speaking, from the Bible standpoint. We had nothing to do with becoming branches, and that's true, from a doctrinal point of view. Then to go on with that, and this dear brother, had that idea, and he started with this 15th chapter. I said, well, if you just keep on going with it, you get so tangled up in those vines that he won't travel. He went on. Well, what he said in the beginning was fine. There wasn't anything wrong with the doctrinal aspect that we were in that vine, chosen in Christ. We were in Christ by redemption. We're in Christ by regeneration. We're in Christ by preservation. We'll be in Christ in the final resurrection. All of that's true. But brethren, this is not a doctrinal lesson. This is not a fundamental lesson, though I may deal with some of it and bring some of those points out to clarify my position in the great, wonderful work of grace. And I think I can use this 16th verse as a point of that, saying, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And that certainly lays the foundation that if I was an apostle, which I'm not, but had I been in that day, I would have had to accept what Jesus Christ said. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And another thing I'll say to this, if I'm a preacher with one talent in the kingdom of God, I'll tell you this, I'm not one over. I'm not one by my own will. I'm as Paul told Timothy, who was not an apostle, but Paul writing to Timothy, writing to a young preacher who was not an apostle, but an evangelist. Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose in Christ Jesus before the world. But here, my friend, Jesus said, I am the true vine. He is showing himself as the vine that sustains those branches that are to bear fruit to the glory of our God. I believe, my friend, in the essential sense of this text, that Jesus was holding himself out, I am the true vine. You know, I believe this church here at Daylight is a vine. It's a vine of the Lord. We often refer to the vine of his right hand planted. And I believe it's a branch of that great vine of the Lord. Not only Christ in his personage and his work of redemption, which I've already spoke briefly of, but brethren, he came in the world to set up a kingdom. Just like a vineyard is being planted, a vineyard is here for the benefit of the people of God and to the glory of God. Here is the production of the fruit of this vineyard, that it might bring forth fruit to the honor and the glory of the Lord. So I'm telling you what I believe about it. This is a gospel subject. It is not dealing with the eternal application of the Lord in redemptive standpoint and regeneration and all of that. Although all of that has to take place, and we must give him the honor and the glory for that. But I am the true vine. I am the true church. Let me put it that way. I am the true church of God. I am the head of this church. I am the preserver of this body. Husbands, love your wives. As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He is the provider of his church. I am the true vine. My Father is the husband. You know, here is the vine. And of course, the vines have their branches. But the husband is the one that looks over and looks after this. There will be no fruit in any vineyard or from any plant, any vine or any branch, if it is not cared for by the Father. I think Jesus Christ, of course, is an individual, was God's Son. He was that before the foundation of the world, but he came into the world, my friend, as a little small thing, seemingly helpless and innocent and all these things. And yet in the providence of Almighty God, he submitted himself in that humble state to be in the hands of his heavenly Father. Out of Egypt have I called my son. Here was a providential an act from the part of God to warn Joseph and Mary to take him and free him. So I tell you this, these were provisions made by God on behalf of his son. I think today, my friend, though God Almighty established his own church in the world, and it's the true vine, but at the same time, there are providential provisions made for that church. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. He dresses this vine. He dresses this vineyard. He looks after every branch upon this vine. Now he says, every branch in me. Notice the branches in him. The branches in the true vine. We're not talking about something out here that's grafted from something else. We're talking about something that comes out of the true vine. Every branch in me. Now this is not trying to get in him. You're already in him. Every branch in me. Of course, I could deal with that, go all the way back over it again and tell you that you were in him by covenant, you were in him by redemption, you were in him by regeneration, you be in him by preservation, you be in him and with him to the final day and the great day of the resurrection. But my friend, I'm going to tell you something. You may be in him by covenant. You may be in him by redemption. You may be in him in all these ways of which I have spoken of, and yet not continue to be in him from a gospel standpoint. Now watch me as we go along. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Why are you in him? Why are you in this fruit vine? You're in there not to take up space. You're not there to wave your foliage. What foliage? Leaves? We don't need leaves. We don't make wine out of leaves. And all the foliage, and we may have a big stalk and a lot of foliage, but it's like the vine, you know, the ward went by there. He went by this a fig tree, I believe it was, and all it had was leaves on it. He went by 3 years, and there was no fig on it. A lot of foliage. You know what that was? That was that Jewish nation that Jesus went by for 3 years of his personal ministry and found nothing but foliage and no figs. And what do you say? Oh, it'll be all right. No, my granny. I said, cut it down, that it shall not cover the ground. And we wonder sometimes why old Baptist churches that have been fruit-bearing churches and have borne the glory to our God in this world, houses filled and children of God weeping and coming forward and uniting with the church and rejoicing in these things. Now, pulpits and pews are occupied by bacchanals, my friend. Is there not a reason? Is there not a cause? I tell you there's a cause. If a vine is not producing, if there's nothing on the branches, there's a reason. I believe the true vine is the true church abiding in the Lord, and abiding in Christ will always be productive. There's no way for it not to be productive. I don't mean it'll get a dozen members every meeting, anything like that, but there's going to be spirituality there, there's going to be love there, there's going to be fruit bearing there, there's going to be fellowship there. There's going to be something wonderful there, and you're going to find a cluster. It may not be a big, he says, behold the cluster, and he says, do not destroy it, for in it is a blessing. Now I tell you, when you behold that cluster of grapes, here they hang on this vine from this branch, they are beautiful. And when grapes are productive like that, and they hang on a cluster, that means they are clinging together. Listen, brother, when you have one little grape over here, and one little grape over here, and one little grape over here, it looks like a vineyard that is not being cared for. It looks like something that is not bearing fruit. Therefore, I want you to know when they're scattered, I care not how often, and I would to God that we could meet more often in all of our churches, but brethren, that is not the question. The question is how unified are we? How close are we together? How much do we love each other? We could be here every day of the week and be as dead as a doornail. We could just be here and be a bunch of old limbs and be a bunch of old rustic leaves and no fruit. We might be here once a year, and the Lord be with us and bless us and fruit bearing, and it'll be a time of rejoicing. But I don't recommend that. I think we ought to meet as often as we can, and as often as permits, and as often as the situation may allow within our local territory. But nevertheless, he said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit. If this branch, and it's in me, it's not some other denomination out here. It's not something else. So oftentimes, we're looking at what the other fellow's doing, and I do a lot of that. I look and see what the other fellow's doing. I tell you what we're better be looking at is what we're doing. We are the one that are supposed to be bearing the fruit if we're what we hope to be, if what we believe we are. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Brother, I tell you, there's such a thing as the Lord removing you from that true vine if your branch is not productive. You have a responsibility before God. And you can't blame it on some sister church or somebody else. God is looking to you. You as a branch. You as little branches up from this main branch that the Lord has blessed you to have and be in and be a part of. But he said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. He's going to remove it because the fruit is on the new growth. Anybody that deals with vines and vineyards knows well that fruit comes off of the new growth. And the old growth is producing nothing. It's clipped and pruned. Brother, he faithfully prunes his deep branches. Now, I may let you get by, and you may let me get by, but he's going to prune. And I'm going to tell you that the husbandman is going to prune. He's going to prune. He's going to definitely prune. He said he taketh it away. That's what it means. He cuts it off. See, now, if I apply this to eternal, if I apply this to talking about your covenant relationship with God, your redemptive relationship with him, your regenerated relationship with him, your hope of an eternal home in heaven. And if you don't bear fruit, he's going to take you away. That sounds like you'll wind up in hell. And brother, you be fell for grace or farm. You won't ever get out of it. That's about far that young preacher got in the young sweet tank. He said, I believe I'm trying to learn these wives. That's just how he was. He sure was. Because he was applying it all doctrinal, all eternal. He was talking about being in Christ before the world began. And that's all true, I tell you. But when you get it out of context, when you get something over here, it's not talking about that. You've got a right to divide the word of truth. He said, but every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. I wanted you to know this. If you are a fruit-bearing branch, you're going to be purged. There's going to be some purging. That you might bring forth more fruit. You may have been bringing some fruit forth, but if you're going to bring more fruit and be more productive, there's got to be some purging. Tommy said one day, he said, Daddy, you ever thought about these pretty strong winds that come up every once in a while and shakes all these dead limbs out of the tree? You know, and it falls down on the ground? But you know, I think that's what the Lord does sometimes. If the church don't prune, if the members become dead, inactive, and unconcerned, and show no interest in not doing their duty, sometimes a storm comes along. Maybe a storm like tenfold for them. You know what I mean? A storm of somebody in there, it got hurt, somebody got offended, and I'm more concerned about my relative than I am about Christ. So here I go. I go running off with my relatives and forget all about the church and all about Christ. Love your relatives, brother, and love your friends, but when they take a stand away from Christ, keep on loving them, but don't follow them a step. Don't follow a step. Because, my friend, it will lead you into a darkened state. So here he says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. This proves to me this is the gospel text. It's not talking about the word of God, the Logos that came in the world to redeem us, nor even the word that comes in regeneration, the powerful word of Christ. But you're clean to the word, the gospel, which I have spoken unto you. And this is the reason that you can be fruit-bearing, is because you are clean to the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. And I'm going to tell you, old Baptist, that if you think you can do something without the Lord, you're making a sad mistake. If you think your preacher can do something without the Lord, you're making a sad mistake. And sometimes you fail to bear fruit and he fails to bear fruit because you come looking to man instead of to the Lord. Oh, my friend, when you come looking to the Lord and saying, without me, you can do nothing. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. We can bear no fruit. The further I go in my service with him, the more I feel dependent upon him. And if I'm not saying it, brother, I want you to know I feel it in my heart. And I know I cannot preach except God be with me. And I do not want the glory, because it is not deserving on my part to take that glory, nor for you to give it unto me. But let us give it all. Without me, you can do nothing. I tell you this, without him, we can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. But if you abide in me. That is, by faith, we abide in him. We trust in him. We draw sap from him. We said, oh Lord, give me grace. Give me power. Give me strength. A church ought to bow before him and says, oh Lord, help us. And you know what? We don't have enough prayer meeting. Oh, we could have a run out here and have a prayer meeting. Let's have a Wednesday night prayer meeting. That's fine. But I mean, we need to pray. I'm talking about getting down before Almighty God and saying, Lord, help us. Yeah. We need help. And I will forget when Brother Bradley and them. They were at the crossroads. They were being tossed to and fro, knowing there was something out there, and yet not knowing the way to go. And yet just where two ways were meeting, and yet in a confused state of mind. He said, we felt so burdened. We didn't know what to do, where to go. But for 30 days, we met every night for 30 days. Not in formality, but getting down on our face and saying, oh God, we know not the way. If there's a kingdom, if there's a way, if there's life, if there's a little kingdom out here that we're not a part of, oh God, show us the way, open up the way, and we'll walk in it. Bring, I tell you, when you ask, you shall receive. When you seek, you shall find. And if you're in this congregation tonight, and you say, well, I'm wondering if I ought to be an old Baptist or not, you better ask God, don't ask me. That's why you need to ask the Lord. You need to get on your knees and ask. And if you say, we're a church here, and we're not having warm meetings, we often talk about the days of old. We talk about what a good time we used to have. But brother, we've got the same God. We've got meeting houses than we had then. Well, they had more religion than we got. I tell you that, and that may be the reason. But nevertheless, my friend, we're still not asking. If we're asking, and we're coming to him, and asking him, and asking in faith, in sincerity, how much time did you spend in really asking for help? And to help your pastor. I don't mean give him a $5 bill. That's wonderful if you help him financially. God knows there's a lot of things he can do and cannot do without your giving in the kingdom of God. And that's fruit bearing too. Because, oh, I like to be a member of a church that don't cost me one dime in the world. I just like to float along, you know, and don't feel any responsibility. And I tell you, that's about what you do, just floating along. Because, my friend, if you're not willing to help and to share in these things, you will not be blessed. That's fruit bearing. And Paul says that fruit may abound under your account. He says, I'm not writing you that you do this to me, but I'm writing that you will do this to the glory of Christ. That fruit may abound under your account. When you find liberal churches and they're willing to give and sacrifice, not covetous, they are fruit bearing churches. God blesses them. Thank God for that. And all of these things. And he says, abide in me as I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can he except he abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now, brethren, I tell you, I do not believe God is really satisfied the more than the husbandman is satisfied with just a small crop of grapes in his vineyard. It's taking up the land, it's taking up the space, it's taking up the time, it's taking up the energy. And he wants you to bear much fruit. Not just a barely amount, just just a few little scrawny grapes, but he wants you, my friend, to bear much fruit. Oh, I heard a brother the other day, and he got to preaching about them that bone of the grapes they brought out of Canaan's land. I never heard nobody own that. I've heard it mentioned that. But oh, he got a whole sermon out. They had to two men to hold that thing. Yeah, you know, and walk along here. Now that one was reaching back, plucking a little, another was reaching far and plucking a little. But it took two to carry that whole a bunch of grapes. And brethren, I don't believe it's impossible today for you to come marching out of Canaan's land of bearing a cluster of grapes that would reach down to the ground. Because you are preaching Christ, believing Christ, following after Christ, all of these things. And so he says that you bear much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If any man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Let me tell you something. Anytime an old Baptist church, I don't care how much fruit is born in the past, or an individual member of the body of Christ who's a branch, how much fruit you've borne in your life, if you cease to abide in Christ, looking to Christ, depending on Christ, trusting in Christ. And I tell you one thing, he says, every branch that does not abide in me, abide in His Word, abide in His truth, abide in love, abide in all these things that He would indicate in His Word. He says that branch will be cast forth and it withereth. And then what happens to it? Men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. I do not believe that's eternal hell. I do not believe. I believe in the eternal hell. I believe that fire will teach you. But this is not the place for it, brethren. We're talking about gospel salvation and gospel damnation. We're talking about the judgment of God upon those that do not bear fruit. As the branch of the Lord. And he said they withered. And when they wither, there ain't no fruit on them. They're all withered. And then they're cut off. The husbandmen have cut you off. And when you cut off, there's always some men wandering around looking for dead branches because they want to start another bonfire. They want to start another bonfire for the Lord. They want somebody to support what they're doing. They want somebody to put some wood on their fire that it won't go out. They want somebody to financially support what they're doing. They need more money and more numbers. And you're right there. You've already been cut off of the true vine. And you've been cut away from the true branch. Here you are, a dead branch, bearing no fruit spiritually under God. And here's men coming along together. And I tell you, they are cast in the fire. There's no greater terrible fire than your life. Is to be cut off from the true church of the Lord and be thrown in the institutions of men where they love you not, they care only for what they can get out of you, they use you to fuel what they're doing, their energetic things and what they're doing, and here you are like a poor product, far from home, reaching out, fain to fill my belly with the husk, but no man gave to me. I'm sure no one saying, brother, this cold and unfriendly and unkind the world is not a friend to the child of grace. It's not a friend to those that love God, love the things of God. You leave the Father's house and you wander away and you take your fortune and spend it in riotous living. As that young man did, then after a while it's all gone. And then you find out that you're down here feeding swine. That was something for a Jew, but feeding swine. He wasn't allowed to eat them, and now he's out here feeding them. And so here he is, my friend. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk thereof, but nobody offered him that. And that's a real, you're talking about a real burning, a real death. That's a real death to be away from God's kingdom. And I've met a few men like that. And I've talked with a few that just left the old church. Oh, we found something out here. Oh, this is going to be great. Just give them time. Because they burn out. And
then after a while he's going to look back, my friend, and say, I've got the best thing there is. But no, you know, I'm a poor member, and I'm a poor preacher. I'm going to stay home. I tell you, I'm going to stay home. I don't know anywhere I want to go. The Lord led me. He led my roving feet to tread the heavenly road. He brought me to His banqueting house. His banner over me was love. I say, entreat me not to leave thee, nor return from following after. But will thou go as I will? Your God be my God. Your people be my people. Long as I live. And so, the beautiful words of Ruth, I'm not quoting that verbatim, but I'm telling you about this. But to be cast off and to be put away. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Isn't that wonderful? Brethren, I tell you, the Lord is so, He is concerned with you. He wants you to ask in His will. He wants you to be fruitful. He doesn't want you to be cold and dried up and dead and formal. He wants you to be alive and living and fruit bearing. He wants you to even down to old age to bear more and more fruit, my friend. And I've talked with old brethren and sisters whose hair was blooming for the grave. And they were coming down from the end of the way, and their faces were aglow with heavenly visions. Of crossing over in the reality of all they've heard and all they've heard preached and all they have preached is soon shortly coming to pass. Shortly coming to pass. Oh, my friend, abide in me. I was called home from Washington, D.C. I've been preaching up in northern Virginia. This is called southern Virginia. I was up in the northern, extreme part of the state, preaching up there last year. And around Washington, D.C. And then there was death. I want to see this dear old brother. He's been a member, even only 78 years old, but he's been a faithful member for many years. I've been his pastor for nearly 35 years. And I went to see him. I thought he would last a few more days. I thought he would live at least a month or two. I really felt like that. He had a type of disease that I felt like he would not die so suddenly. But you know, he died within that week's time. And I was called to come back home. And the only way to get back for the funeral on Monday was to fly back. I don't like to fly too much, you know. But anyway, it was a fly. And so I boarded a plane. And as I was flying over to my left side out of the window of the plane were some kind of thunderheads with some darknesses and maybe a little lightning and things like that. But I looked across to the right and I saw just beautiful layers. If any of you flown, it was just clouds, just looked like endless layers, like sheep with the wool, just all just beautiful. And the sun would look like just dancing on the backs of those little clouds. And I said, oh, what a beautiful sight it is. And I said, now, when I left home, this dear brother was over here in the thunderstorm. He was over here when the storms were raging. He was facing death. But now, if what we believe is the reality, dear brethren, his soul was wafted into the paradise, the realm of Almighty God. There he was in the sunshine of His love. Running, I hope I'm not. Oh, I do hope I'm a child of God. And I hope when I leave this world, my soul shall take its angelic flight into the paradisical realm of Almighty God. And I will wait in that glad day anxiously for the return of the Lord. And I shall hear Him say, whatever my soul may be engaged, and I'm sure I will be gazing in His beauty and His love around the dazzling throne of Almighty God. And I'll be waiting to hear of that affecting call. Come on, souls that's been redeemed. We're returning to the earth. And running out of He'll bring the souls of judgment with them. He shall come with the shout, the voice of an archangel. My mother joined me. I was a little saved in her. Brother, she bore fruit all of her life. All of her life she bore the graciousness of the love of Christ. My father did too in a lot of ways.
but his fruit was a little scattering. You know, always making excuses and always saying, well, I'm not worthy. I just can't do it and all that. But finally, Brother Randall, Elis Randall, preached the sermon on the day of salvation, and now is set the time. And Daddy says, now it looks like it was a neon light. Now, today! My mother thought he was going home. He was often sick, you know. She, he said, I'm going. He said, well, you want me to go with you? No, I go by myself. You know, she didn't know what he meant. He's procrastinated so long. He had failed about his fruit. So he rose up from his seat, and she could hardly sleep her eyes. And he marched down that aisle and cast his lot with the people he loved so long. And he was 6 years old. He had loved this great God and this truth. He offered himself. He began to bear fruit. You know, part of his life, he was fearful of storms and things like that. And he liked to drown in the storm. He'd get us all in the car and run down. We'd have a bad storm and run down to the underpass. He'd get us down there. And one day with a flash flood, all like the ground. And my mother said, we'll never go again. So we'll trust the Lord in this matter. We'll never go again. I'm not against the Lord. And I want to leave y'all. I try not to go. He was scared to death. But I was at home after he was baptized, after he started bearing this fruit, and there was a storm came up right at his home. I was sitting in there. The trees were sweeping the ground. You could feel the vacuum and the suction for what could really be a devastating tornado. I said, Dad, it's mighty rough out there. It's mighty rough out there. He said, yes, but it's not rough in here. He said, the storm used to be in here, but now the storm's out there, and the calm's in here. Fruit bearing. And brother, that's the way he walked to death. The night he died, he walked into the hospital. He laid on that little bed with a smile and laughing, and there was right near his tomb with a smile on his face. What a bundle of grapes. What a bundle of grapes. Man, bearing fruit. Even in the head. Herein is my Father glorified. If you bear much, so shall you be minded. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in you. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I call you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. May God bless you.